I have a reason for telling you this, because it's been a little bit hard for Ron Jackson as he's unfolding here. He's had a very interesting past, and somehow now he is somehow hooked up into this, and he doesn't sleep, and a lot of things are happening that he doesn't really understand, and he'll test me a little bit, you know, by not saying exactly what it is bugging him or whatever. But we're getting there. But there are some that have just come to this place and have a specific mission, and all of their past experience has to have been exactly the way it was to get to the point of here to be able to move on, if in fact they will accept the responsibility. And very frequently the anger against what is taking place on your place gets the better of good wisdom. Man, I'm just going to blow them out. Well, wait till you're out. Be smart. You're not walking alone. And what you do, whoever you are, touches those, especially those close to you. And let's not throw out all of the water, the soap, the rag, the baby, and all. But Ron is beginning to awaken, and it is not easy, my friends. You may just awaken. Dorma may awaken and go right or something. But she's not awake. And I'm always going to protect you ones. I don't want these things floating around in your consciousness. That is your security blanket. You don't know. And they know that you don't know. And believe me, the elite knows who they're up against. They also know that they are greatly compromised these days by this man. I mean, after all, they trained him. But I'm going to tell you something else. They cannot control a man's mind if I want to control it. You know, everybody can laugh, and he says, I think Brent and Rick were privy to this. They had the speakerphone going, and Rick says, Ron just doesn't understand, you know, what's keeping him awake and all of the stuff that's going on. And Dorma says, well, I know what it is. That guy upstairs, you know, zonked our brains just like, you know, his brain just like he has the rest of us. Well, I don't like you to put it that way, but that's okay. Always just be sure is zonked toward God. Everybody hear me? Just be sure it always is zonked toward God. Because there's something going on wrong if it isn't. And God will be expressed in that movement toward freedom. You won't understand it, but there will be a driving need for not only your own freedom, but for freedom in expression. You need to grow, and you want to express. And this man is more acutely aware of being yanked around, if you will. He has actively done some things that he couldn't figure out why he did them. And so now it's a good time to find out why. Well, I can't speak of some of those things. But for instance, Sherry Yaunt will speak to me about, sir, should I, you know, I have friends moving to the area of Santa Fe. New Mexico. Is that a good place to be? I can't tell you where is your place to be. You have to decide where is your place to be. Well, I just want to know if that's a safe place. Everywhere is safe or unsafe. So I cannot answer these questions. I can tell you that Santa Fe is not the point. I can tell you that Phoenix or Timbuktu is not the point. But when you speak of areas north of Santa Fe, we'll move you into the area of Taos. Now, if you are a Plains Indian, you will know that Taos means sun or sun god. Or people of the sun, as in the Taos village, the ruins. Now, begin to put it together. Why is it important? It was the place where God brought his people, the sun people, to the pueblos to experience. You will also find, historically, as these Indian tribes will bring their oral tradition and speak to you, that in the area of Taos, New Mexico, part of the Indians believed they came up from the earth. Part believed they came down. Some through the constellation, which they don't call Orion, but that's what, but they will always refer to the seven stars, Pleiades. And that was the home of the sun god. Now, why would they have these kind of traditions unless there was some reality in the coming in and the going out of winged something or other? So that area of your geographic outlines is important. And I don't have to even talk about it. Just go with the history of the language to know that it's important. These people will not call themselves Aborigines. Why? They call themselves original people in their own language. It's not going to sound anything like yours. But the Aborigines were the ones who experienced and came up from the earth in Australia and New Zealand. Well, I want to know, are these serpent people from Orion? Are they Pleiadians? Are they elephant-eared, flabberhashes? It doesn't matter. They are what inhabited your earth. And you're going to find that there are many ones here from Orion, and they certainly do not look reptilian, neither do they look like little grays. And unfortunately for most, and fortunately, they're peaceful beings from Orion. Well, who sees them? Anybody? Well, what do they look like? You. Look around you. You're looking for your space brothers. Most of them are going to be quite fair, tall, not 9.5 feet. But I have to remind you, when I experience with you, I won't be 9.5 feet either. and they are the forerunners. Some of them have come on those crafts. Some have just come because of the craft and the time. And they are from Orion, and they're very reasonable beings. Try to deal with you in a diplomatic sort of way, which is all but impossible in its own right. And as a matter of fact, you're going to find that Mr. Ron Jackson has met them. And he is going to find that he knows me quite well when that time is appropriate. So you're getting closer, you see. You always, well, just show yourself. I don't have to show myself. Very often I'm less than 300 feet from you at the end of the tunnel. Machinery has tunneled right up to the crystal. As a matter of fact, they chipped off a piece of the crystal and took it to an underground facility outside Langley, Virginia. And we pinpointed some of these in 1987. We set craft right down on top of the area. So you're going to be getting a lot of confirmation from a very, very earth-oriented source. And you're going to have to accept the fact that a lot of things happen. There is a lot that goes on in Puerto Rico, around Cabo Rojo. This is a lagoon. And there are pictures of craft bubbling up and then just taking off. How many of those are yours? How many of those are, quote, ours from outer space? It does not matter. It is what is happening with them that you must stay attuned to in your thoughts and in your focus. And watch what the word is coming down. Oh, some more cattle mutilations. Well, so what? Your guys do it every time you get close to finding out the truth. And there are going to be some major, major revelations when there is major revelation about MJ-12. And Ronald Reagan told you people he wanted to form a coalition with Russia. Not too many years ago, my friends, when he said, what would we do if we were attacked from outer space? That's your problem. Because when you get attacked, it's going to appear to be from outer space. Don't worry about those little asteroids. The Russians have, Zhirinovsky has, a little handful of putty-looking stuff can blow away the northern hemisphere of your planet. Do you think that size asteroid would do very much to your planet, and they're telling you that it can blow you off course and shatter your planet and all this bunk? An asteroid would not do that. I don't care where it comes from. If it is that small, it will go right through your earth and out the other side before it would destroy it. But you better believe that this exists, and it exists in Russia, and it exists through the United States. And if the Israelis can have a bomb that is the size of a credit card that can blow away the trade center, I want to tell you that's called a briefcase bomb. An Israeli briefcase bomb. It is undetectable, period. and so is this little baseball. So you're up against the time when these revelations are going to be coming through. You're up against the time when you're being prepared to be scared to death when the aliens show up. Well, you better be more prepared to be scared to death from the aliens moving on shore from Mexico, China, Cambodia, and all other parts. But right now, today, your government is absolutely in a state of shock. And yeah, we did it. And Ron Jackson is brave enough to pour it on. Sometimes a little too brave, and we need to back him off. We don't want anyone else in danger. I just wanted to put that little alien bit in there before you go on. Now you can go on, please. If you can remember where you were.
Introduction.
That always works best. Start over.
As we move quickly along with offerings of information regarding the unfolding of proven corruption in your marketplaces, your governments, your religions, and the incredible corrupted control over you, the people, by the injustice system, I can only say that here in the beginning, we are just winging it. As ones with are willing to share with those without, so that strides can be made in reclaiming that which was yours, we will move quickly in offering that which is pertinent in the changing times. Speaking of wings, we want to wish our beloved friend and colleague, Lydia Ogden, congratulations on graduation and happy birthday. This one, friends, really has meaning, and I shall speak on this subject this afternoon, departure from Earth Plane. Lydia gained her wings this week, and we honor her for truly, when within the lighted presence of God, it is a happy birthday of the best kind. The last treatments of the medical profession were simply too painful and would be intolerable indefinitely. As to the constancy of the pain involved in the treatment of her illness, and once the treatment was done, there was and is no way to undo the undertaking. Her lung cavity was filled with a substance to hopefully stop the oozing of fluid into the chest cavity. I warned that it would be the worst type of nightmare, but she was talked into the procedure. Alas, she rapidly deteriorated while in constant torture. She asked permission a week ago to take leave, and then chose to depart the physical that she might better serve elsewhere, for she knew she would never again be able to overcome the compromised status of her body.
You're picking up vibration.
Thank you, Commander. Try over here. We welcome her aboard. Sound like I'm still doing it.
No, it's better.
Since this is a subject most frequently asked about, we will speak to the subject this afternoon, and if you wish to share, please consider the tapings from the meeting. We have other business to attend to, but I will take time to address transition and death of body. If you are not on the tape list, it can be referred to as the Mother's Day 94 tape. You who have been following on with our recent ongoing efforts to get Ron Jackson free, you will want an update. Since we have a meeting this afternoon to cover some topics on this Mother's Day 1994, we will bring current information appropriate to his status. We will also speak briefly about Gunther Rushbacher. Gunther. Our people have not been able to actually locate Gunther, as all information is shrouded by secret keepers. I can tell you that he is okay. Please, readers, keep up the good work in contacting him and these other people who hold freedom in their pockets. EJ has had the State Department and American Express Services working on getting behind the scenes with both a physician and social worker and to see what the man may need. We will keep the vigil, for it is through the standing watch with brother that we can best serve. Jackson. He was to have been released yesterday. Arrangements have been made and are at standby, as we write, to get him delivered to his proper destination after release. We will not share how or when that actually takes place. He has not, at this writing, been released. Why? Well, that is a most interesting story indeed. I shall touch on it so that we can get our message more clearly across to the monitors and surveillance teams of the adversary. I can promise you, gentlemen, that the delays will only bring more uncomfortable discoveries to light. At first, the major roadblock was in the information being written by contact on money, Ron's constitutional case, and the banking committee, Buckley et al. Then the terror struck in the stomach pits over what Ron can reveal about Ronald Reagan. But today we have a newer and more terrible concern on the part of elite big boys, MJ-12. All of you regular readers know that MJ-12 is a remarkable, strong committee. You also know that it deals with outer space aliens and craft. I will keep my silence only as long as you gentlemen in charge keep your agreements. Does Ron Jackson know about MJ-12? Oh, indeed, and when he was going to talk, his incarceration was extended. He was then going to offer Rick for contact the information. Well, we all believe it far wiser to get him out. We don't need to get into trouble with anyone over anything. Let us allow them some face-saving while they effort to sort their own problems. I will say this much regarding MJ-12. A couple of members of that committee were, at one time, projects of Mr. Jackson. Neither of us need to share that information at the moment, but I am weary of the games. I think the elite continue to try the patience of even the angels. The Constitution must be recovered and restructured and reintroduced through the Constitution. News release from Hawaii, state sovereignty. Excellent news from the Phoenix Project, Hawaii, Dr. Ron Carlson, Committee of 50 States. Quote, today the 17th legislative session passed the sovereignty resolution, also known as the 10th Amendment resolution, empowering local governments in their bid of home rule. We offer congratulations for the upstart of a wondrous new adventure as you work to regain that which is yours. We will see to it that information regarding this is entered into the paper, for there are some meetings coming up which are very important to you if you are to reclaim freedom. I will also ask that you watch for the Michael Silverhawk material. I have no time nor space to enter these documents into this writing. Threats, Mr. Green. Word has come back as heavy threats from George Green, who states that he has received a threatening letter from someone telling him to back off the Eckers and the Institute or else. Or something like this. We got it third or fourth hand. However, I am privy to a copy of said document, and I can guarantee that it is not, as Mr. Green presents it to be. Further, I hope Mr. Green follows through with his threat to take it to the FBI for prosecution. We can hardly wait for Mr. Green to bring it in again to the FBI. I will offer the document in point. No one in this area even knows who it is from. I shall keep that to myself, for I want no further implications cast upon Dharma or EJ or anyone from this area. The paper in point came from a source postmarked Missouri.
Well, this was the originating document. There are two or three circulating around now, having been conjured.
94-22-4. GG, you have done your best, you have done your worst. Now it is time to back off. Your mindless attacks are not God-directed, They are despised by the creative forces. Change now before it's too late. You are given more warning than most. 30,300. I would suggest further, however, that Mr. Green is also arranging to have his own threats sent to himself. Indeed, I certainly do hope that this does indeed bring in the FBI. Do I know who this is in point of the note above? Oh, yes, and it is actually a friendly warning by someone who knows what is going on at the highest levels of intelligence. And when George Green confronts the FBI after they come into the picture and track the information sender, it will be Mr. Green in worse trouble. This person in point is of very high status and stature. Or maybe it's just a little old lady from Pasadena, Missouri. I congratulate the person for caring for George's soul. Jackson notice. A week or so ago, Jackson wrote a notice or bulletin for distribution. However, the people to whom it was sent were, we believe, unable to get it out. I would like to enter it here so that it is available. It arrived here on April 27th, 1994. Ron Jackson. It seems only yesterday I filed case so-and-so in U.S. District Court in Reno, Nevada. I must admit I was only mildly upset with the government at the time, and now what a difference a few short months make. Since the news of the issuance of a declaratory judgment on March 4, 1994, I have received thousands of inquiries, letters, and comments, and there is still a great deal of confusion about the order by the court and its meaning. I'm going to try to clarify and answer those questions about the decision as each appeared in the order. Item 1. The 16th Amendment to the Constitution was invalidated, in my opinion. The court had no alternative. I filed a 53-page affidavit showing the deficiencies in the ratification process of the states and as contained in the archives of those individual states. This information was compiled by Bill Benson and is a part of his book, The Law That Never Was. The judicial can only deny this information for so long. Judge Hagan showed a great deal of courage on this point. Perhaps he feels, as most of us, that are involved in the returning of our country to the Constitution, and most of all to God, let's get rid of the garbage in Washington, D.C. that calls itself the U.S. government. Item number 2. The Federal Reserve Act of 1913, as was originally written, was non-positive law and only applicable to the federal United States, which means federal territory only. Any other inference is to be without basis in fact or law. This confirms the existence of the two terms, United States and United States of America. This item also confirms that government rules and legislates on bluff and deception, and implies that it has jurisdiction where it does not. This is also money's influence over government and proves the theorem. Any self-regulating and self-governing entity is self-serving if the price is right. Item number 3. The Gold Reserve Act of 1934 was found to be fraudulent on its surface. What this decision is saying is that FDR and the administration at that time used the law to defraud the citizens of the sovereign Union states and stole their gold. Each successive administration is an accessory after the fact. Item number 4. The court found that Title 26, United States Code, the income tax law, to be applicable only to the federal United States. Federal territory and insular federal property within the several states, as was all other non-positive law. In effect, the decision reaffirmed that if a law does not comply with the Constitution, that law does not apply to the citizens of the sovereign union of states, only to federal territory and federal citizens. We are citizens of the sovereign states. To sum up what the court said in its order, number 1, there are two citizenships in this country. A, citizens of the federal United States, which means citizens of federal territory. B, citizens of the sovereign union of states. There are two entities in this country. A, United States. B, United States of America. Number three, the United States government only legislates for the federal United States unless the laws passed conform to the Constitution. Number four, acts of Congress only apply to the federal United States, non-positive law, and do not apply to the United States of America. That the U.S. government relies on adhesion to a law and therefore implies that as an entity it has jurisdiction where it does not. It governs by implication and exceeds its authority, depending on ignorance, to rule. That the U.S. government is a federal government, not a national government. That the U.S. government, for the most part, is unlawful and unconstitutional and is fraudulent in legislating by saying the people want it. In making this order, the court has agreed with me in saying the U.S. government is an entity and individually is morally, ethically, spiritually, and financially bankrupt and needs to be replaced in its entirety. Their actions demonstrate that government believes in the one world government and believes that the citizens of this country are just going to sit back and let this happen. Well, this is an open message to little Billy Clinton and his merry band of leftist bimbos. The citizens of this country are the meanest and most deadly of all people in all of history, and we will see you and your groups of traitors, like the CFR and the FRB and all others, fry in hell. I do so solemnly swear. My fellow citizens of the sovereign union states, it's time we united and rid ourselves of this malignancy called the U.S. government. Ron Jackson. May God bless your work as you embark on the greatest adventure of your experience, the regaining of your nation. I salute you. Yorgos Hatton.
Thank you. He doesn't even have it yet. You see, he came into a beginning as he became aware of some of the writings. He's a lot to learn. He is now being flooded with documentation. And yet he has the way. It may not please you to realize how he has the way, but he obviously has been on the within side of the workings of these committees. And he knows the seamy side of it that gives confirmation to the patriot side of it. He's on that within side where word comes back who are the traitors. And you've got them. And to me, they are worse than any traitor who just says, I'm a traitor and I'm in it for the money. To mislead the citizens into believing they are your leaders that are going to bring you into freedom if you just follow them, while they take your money and they train you to use your guns that they're trying to ban at the same time, the elite. You cannot fight this war, not this war, with guns. So I get, well, sir, but what are we going to do? Shouldn't we defend ourselves? Yes, and if you have a gun and someone comes at you to break into your home and kill your children, I would guess that you'd probably use it. On the other hand, if that assaulter comes, he is going to be better at the use of those guns than are you, and you're more apt to get killed. It isn't right. You should be able to have 14 guns if you want to and defend your life and your place and your property. I am not arguing the rightness of it. I'm going to repeat one of the laws of God is thou shalt not kill. So to go out and blatantly just kill off your enemy and then ask God to judge you as being pure and your enemy as being false has no basis whatsoever. You are judging whether that enemy is bad or good, and you are better. Does that mean you're going to rot in hell? I don't know where you're going to go. That's between you and God. But you're not going to be able, undoubtedly, to avoid all costs, all wars, all misery, all this, all that. But if you are so busy creating a way out of this, you will be able to show the way to a better way. And maybe you can let those nice guys who built all these concentration camps out of the closed bases, etc., inhabit them. You will have citizens, I don't care whether they're patriotic or not, wishing to reclaim freedom. You have, right now, taking place what just took place in Hawaii. This such a short period of time ago is so unthinkable that it is astounding. You have what, some 17 states now that have brought forth these resolutions for sovereignty? And you have other groups. Michael Silverhawk has done a beautiful job with his little group to put down what you need to do. Put down the changes. So what you must do now is grow and allow for the coming together of some of these good leaders. It's not going to help you to have a little pocket of patriots over here and one over there and one over there, and everybody's going to fight over who gets their paper accepted. But you're going to need a way to get the voice out there. So that Joe Blow says, well, I would like to do something, but I don't know where to do it or how, and I can't afford much. So first of all, you're going to have to bring these leaders into proximity one with another and take stock of where you are. And then how best to proceed. And in the process, what you are doing is building yourself a government. Today you wouldn't know who to vote for. Today I wouldn't suggest it be Bill Gates. On the other hand, there are some pretty good ones that you may have to look at again while others are maturing. One is not particularly a godly person, but he certainly would whip a lot of things into place in your nation, and that is Lyndon LaRouche. You're not going to find perfection on your place. You may be yet surprised at the power and the possibilities of a parole. But as long as he keeps all those nice friends on the Council of Foreign Relations and David Rockefeller as a good buddy, you got problems. But you do have a man willing to share his wealth with you. that's really iffy. So you need to mature. You need a direction in which to go, in which to move. And as long as the big spider up here keeps all of its legs wrapped around you, its tentacles sucking you in, it'll suck the life right out of you. And you see, you will read from Pavlons Coleman. Sorry about that. That the Committee of 300 is the biggie. You'll hear from Ron Jackson that the Committee of 16 or 17 is the committee. Then you're going to hear that MJ-12, the Majestic 12 group, is as powerful. Well, what are we talking about? Are we talking about little Clinton, little Billy? Well, everybody that I have talked to in the last few days about little Billy is also talking about little Paula Jones. And the fact that Mr. Clinton can't keep his pants on. That's literally what you call being caught with your pants down, in case you needed some validity to that old saying. Is he guilty? Oh, come on. Doesn't matter whether he's guilty or not. There is the assumption, if she's also after one of the troopers, that something happened. It's more important that you pay attention to what your citizens are saying. Most of them could not care less. Don't bug the poor guy. He's had enough problems. And, well, if it doesn't hurt his governing ability, with that kind of moral attitude, how could it not hurt his governing ability? Or is it just that they want to get him out? And there will always be something until that happens. But they don't want him out bad enough to just take him out, you see. So there's a lot of something going on. Well, he was groomed for that job. I would suggest that you look back and see who might be really ticked off about Billy Clinton. You see, in the Bilderberg meeting some year, 2 years before the election that elected Billy Clinton, it was decided at the Bilderberg meeting that he would be your next president. There was some discussion that they thought maybe Bush would come along with them, but Bush might give them some problems, but they knew Bill Clinton would do whatever they said to do. Which faction does Bill Clinton serve? And what faction is in cahoots with or working somehow on the side of what you would call the White Russians? The Zhirinovskis with a baseball bomb. By the way, this little bomb also just kills life, preserves territory, things. I want to say that life wouldn't be worth very much afterwards, but you'll find a lot of plant life, a lot of insect life, some mammal life would be able to survive. You would find a lot of reptilian life able to survive. And
excuse me, Commander. Thank you.